The Rome Zoo, written by Pascal Janowiak and read by Robert Meldrum. When he leaves the hotel, Chayin is a little more alert. On waking up, he even thought to slip his magnetic key card into the box next to the door, thereby illuminating the whole room and the screen of his telephone. Now he has everything he needs: a phone that is more or less recharged, a black briefcase that makes him look professional, a clean shirt, and a freshly shaven chin. He is also very late. It's already 1 p.m. They're waiting for him in a restaurant, the address of which he enters into his phone as he goes down the front steps. Chayin doesn't have to think about anything else. He just has to do his best to keep the little blue dot that represents him moving forward for as long as it takes to complete the map's precisely calculated journey. Go left, then take the first street on the left and continue straight on to the red pin. Child's play, really. A route of 740 metres. But one during which Chayin narrowly avoids bumping into a poorly parked car, then a dog, then the dog's master, because he's walking with eyes glued to the screen, and to the hesitant progress of the little blue dot, which is turning left at the same time its flesh and blood double is heading up a raised pathway lined with railings. On the screen, this path crosses a large grey featureless expanse, because the zoo does not constitute public open space. But Chayin is not aware of this. Is he also unaware of the smells brought out by the humidity? The strange cries emerging from the vegetation? The calls that tickle his eardrums? Who knows? For animals, every significant perception results in a physical reaction, even if it is itself insignificant. It's more complicated with humans. Their subconscious occasionally interferes. Not to mention the fact that humans love nothing more than to pretend not to notice things. Perhaps that's what Chayin is doing now, with some considerable effort. He's focusing on his screen. Certainly doesn't notice the monumental aviary rising up on his left, doesn't see the fake rocks appearing on either side of the path, or the administrative building, the old entrance to the reptilarium, the balloon cellar, or the balloons in which he now entangles himself, getting caught up in their strings, struggling in vain to extract himself from their ridiculous snares, stifling a curse.